All right, let's do this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Backstory Sessions. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined by my friend and writing partner, Kat. This episode is about online dating, and we have a couple guests who we'll introduce in a few minutes, and we hope you enjoy this edition of The Stories Behind the Stories. Thanks for listening.
Everyone, it's Kat, and I'm joined today with by Matt.
Hello.
Hey, and we want to welcome you to this episode of Backstory Sessions, and it's where you get to hear the stories behind the stories. And today's episode, we have two great guests, and ironically, both of them are from Washington. Sean McCartney from Washington State, who's going to share his experiences with online dating. So welcome, Sean. We're really glad to have you today.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for being on the show. And then from Washington, D.C. area, we have Amy Schoen. And Amy is a professional life coach and dating relationship expert. And so if you're in that mindset of being motivated to marry, then she can help you to find lasting love. And a really interesting statistic that I saw, Amy, was that 80% of your successfully coupled clients, they met through online dating. So welcome, Amy, and I can't wait until we get to talk about that further.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, for the first-time listeners, we start each episode with a backstory of how we come up with the episode topic for the week. And so this week our topic is online dating. And it came about, I was reading through, you know, different social media news stories, and I saw one in particular that I thought was really bizarre. So I sent it to Matt. And later, when we were having our conversation, you know, we were laughing about it in a way, but kind of it's so bizarre. So in this online dating scenario, and this is a real story, true story, they meet online. They have the first date. Everything's going well, I guess, it seems. She's driving, you know, he's got to whatever excuse for why he can't have his car or whatever. So they go, he asks her to stop at a ATM machine at the bank, and he goes in and robs the bank, and then she's the getaway driver. So you know, I mean, I haven't never had a first date like that or any date like that, and so that was really bizarre to me. And I'm thinking, you know, how would you feel if this happened to you? Like, would you drive the car? You know, I mean, I don't know what I would do. But we were discussing it. And so while it's very tragic, I think both of them ended up getting arrested. But we had a conversation about it, and we laugh at really strange things. And so we took that and we wrote a play called Saturday Night Special. And so it's kind of a spoof or a humorous take on that whole situation. So it's not exactly like the news story, but that is the backstory of how we came to write the piece. And that is the backstory of how we made this episode topic. So let's go ahead and get right into this episode now that you know how we got here. And again, welcome guest, and Matt, let's turn it over to you.
All right, Amy, so tell us a little bit how you got started into becoming a life coach and dating relationship expert.
Yeah, well, a lot of things come from your own life experiences. And I was married at 25 and divorced in my mid-30s. And I didn't have children from that marriage. And, you know, then I was really motivated to find a husband and have a family. And I was kind of spinning my wheels. And many of people, like the listeners, they're a student, they want to learn and they want to say, okay, this is not working. Maybe there's a better way. And I was just, you know, I never had trouble meeting people, but I had trouble meeting the right people. And I do want to tell you my take on that story, though, and how you could avoid having that happen to you.
Okay.
Because there are steps I'm sure this woman didn't take that I teach my clients to take to protect themselves from meeting people like that. Anyway, so I eventually met, you know, I actually hired a coach when I turned 40, and he helped me really refine my process and really recognize my husband being the one. And I met him when, we reconnected, actually, when I was 40, 41. And then I got married, and we clicked, and you know, when you know what you want, and you know, and you've been through, you know, a couple of relationships, you know it's right. And so we both were on the same page and wanted the same things, and that's kind of like part of the motivated to marry approach, is recognizing the right person. Because actually I met my husband 5 years earlier, and we were just I wasn't in the right place. I wasn't even divorced yet. And he was kind of in and out of a relationship. So timing is important too.
Right.
So we got married. I was 42. And at the time I was a business owner. I had another business. I owned a women's clothing store. And knowing that I would have to kind of really focus on the child part, I wanted to kind of reduce my stress. So I actually closed the store because it was a very demanding environment. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? Right?
Yeah.
And I already was like helping people, and already, you know, people coming to me and say, how do you meet, you know, your husband, you had no trouble meeting, you know. And so I'm like, you know, and then I was working with a career coach. And so she said, well, what about a life coach? And I'm like, what's a life coach? And she's like, and then she explained it to me, and I was already meeting people in that world because I was an image consultant and helping people like do better for themselves based on their image from my retail background. And I was meeting coaches and networking with them. So I discovered my coaching school, which was Coach Training Institute. They call it the Coactive now. And I went, I loved it. I loved the work. And it was very synergistic with my background and my training. And it just really pulled everything together. Meanwhile, I started writing my book, the Motivated to Marry book. And so that's, you know, and then, you know, things just started to gel. And, I was able to get clients. And they're, you know, my sweet spot is to help people who are really focused on finding serious relationships that will last the test of time.
Oh, great. That's an awesome story. So in your estimation, what is the biggest thing that people are doing wrong in their online dating, you know, in their search?
I think they're not really getting clear about what they want, and they're not communicating it. So really gaining that clarity of their life and expressing their life vision. And they're also doing like a bunch of law, like I don't want, and there's really an approach that I take my clients through, and it's about expressing who you are. You know, that being piece, not the doing piece necessarily, but who you are inside.
Right.
And people want to know who you are, and they want to know what you want out of life. And so I recommend for my clients to put their reasons for dating because there are so many reasons for dating. Yeah. I mean, I come up with 24 in my workshop, reasons why people are dating, and you can count on one hand a serious, committed relationship, wanting to get married, wanting to have a family. You know, most people are, you know, it depends on where you are in your process. You know, are you coming when you're young? Are you coming when you're, you know, divorced? Are you coming when you're widowed? Are you, you know, I have some clients who've been never married and they had almost, not quite, relationships.
Right.
So it really depends on where they are in this, you know, their, your process. So putting out there that I'm looking to date for the purpose of, you know, a long-term committed relationship that would lead to marriage. So a lot, again, depends on your goals, where you are in your life, and, you know, what do you see for yourself?
Right.
So I have clients who've never married, you know, and I have clients who are very motivated.
Mm-hmm. So is there, like, a specific age group that you see more than others? I mean, I would think it would be older people, maybe?
Not necessarily. I mean, I have clients from late 20s all the way into early 70s. I work with both men and women, all ethnicities, all religions. Because my approach is really around, I really get deep into your values, and I make sure that you're expressing those values, because that's the connection tool, is when you're able to express what's important to you and your values, people kind of relate well to that. And say, wow, me too, that kind of thing. And so they see themselves and say, you know, this is something that's really important to me too. And I think, you know, we do connect on values and how we, you know, whether it's giving back to your community or being healthy, active, or valuing being, you know, being with family and putting family as a priority.
Right.
And not everybody does, or some people are very ambitious and they want work as more important. And so you need to find a like-minded person.
Okay, what? Kind of thing. I guess one thing as I'm listening to that is, so what then would separate those people that find each other and have those common connections from just being a friendship versus marriage or serious relationship potential?
Right. So there's, you know, the funny thing is this, and I even have flow charts in my program because I have a technical background from my education. So how you gather information is really the defining part of the online versus the face-to-face meetings. And so when we're online, we can look, and if people are being honest and telling the truth, we can kind of get a real good sense of them. Now, whether we're attracted to these people is the big question mark. And you see their picture, and you know, you can say, oh, that looks like a nice person, that looks like a friendly smile, whatever. That looks like somebody I would be attracted to, that's the body type I'm attracted to. So, you know, you kind of, but until you meet that person, you don't know. And so that's the only thing, you know, that defines becoming a friend versus becoming a romantic partner. However, when you meet somebody in a face-to-face, like a social event, whether it be a party or some kind of singles event or something, you see somebody and say, oh, I like that person. That person's attractive to me, but you know nothing about them. And so you have to spend the time to get to know them, and you have to spend the time to see, do they want what I want? Are they interested in, you know, in life? Is their life vision the same? Because what I found out is that your goals have to be aligned first. You can be attracted to somebody, but if you don't want the same thing at the same time, that relationship is not going to last. And I've seen examples of it time and time again with my clients and my friends and all that kind of stuff. But once the goals are aligned, then it's like, do we see life the same? Do we have the same values? Do we not see any deal breakers? Yeah, I mean, it seems like what? It doesn't seem so romantic, but the process goes really quickly to the point where, you know, I had a client and we did her ideal life and I got her really clear what she wanted because she wasn't really communicating. And she had as a life coach, I'm a life coach first. Sometimes their life is not supporting their goals for a relationship. And so we have to kind of do a little bit of jockeying. So through that exercise, she realized she really, her real priority was to get married and have a family, and she had already hit 40. And so I work with a lot of people in their like mid-30s to mid-40s who are seriously wanting to meet that partner and get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was really, you know what?
Oh, no, I guess I was going to ask was, I mean, have you ever like coached someone and you were just like, oh no, you're not ready?
Well, I think it's a fit. I think a coach and working very closely with someone, there is a fit, and it's a timing and a fit, and I'm not everybody's coach. Mm-hmm. And there are different kind of coaches out there. And so there's other people doing what I'm doing, and they have their own approach. And so, you know, I do spend the time talking to people. I like to make friends, and it doesn't always work out. The timing might not work out, or they may not think that my program is the right thing for them.
Right.
So, you know, I like to say that I'm kind of where the practical meets the woo-woo, because I, you know, grew up on the East Coast. I have a business background and, you know, and other kind of things that make me a problem solver. Yet I went to coaching school that was a California coaching school that was a little more woo-woo, and I feel like I'm a mix between the two. And that was a real stretch for me. You know, some of the intuitive stuff and using your intuition, and I mean, there are things like the energy and feeling the energy and learning about, you know, how are you being in the situation?
Right.
I mean, that was like new language for me. And here I was in my 40s learning all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, no. And sometimes, you know, as a coach, and I'm a professional coach, I've been certified by the ICF. We learn the line between therapy and coaching. And so we, sometimes it's a therapy issue.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's not ready to move forward, if somebody keeps going back to the square, you know, to the same issue time and time again, you know, there is a coaching way to handle it, and then there's a therapy way to handle it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'm able to help my clients and move forward, and when they're a little bit stuck, you know, we've given tools to do that. But sometimes, you know, I say, I think this is a therapy issue, and I really kind of, you know, recommend that maybe you work with somebody who can work deeper with you on this and have greater tools than I do. Because I'm better when people are ready to move forward. Like, you know you want this, you know, you're ready to move forward. I have the tools. I have the process, the step-by-step process. And I can get you from point A to point B. Just, I had a woman who was recommended. She came from a divorce. Her kids had been grown. She was in her late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And recommended by an area therapist who we respect each other. And she just followed my program. I got her online. She got new pictures. She didn't think she looked good. I have, and you know, I can recommend photographers, even no matter where you live, because this company I use has photographers all over the place. She went to a little bit of an image consultant, got her makeup done. You know, she felt like $1 million, got her online. And I never expected this. The first guy she really met, it clicked.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I can't tell you how many times this has happened. And I'm like, you're sure? And then I check back with my clients, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, are you still together? Yeah, we're still going great. It's wonderful. Thank you, you know.
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, I just checked back with another one of my clients that they've been going strong for over 6 months, and I had just gotten her online. I had worked with her to get out of, she still had a boyfriend that was coming back, so she had to get clear about that relationship, whether she wanted it or not. And then when she decided that that wasn't the right one, she went online and she met her current boyfriend, and they've been going strong for over 6 months now. Yeah, so it's been a good year. I've had a lot of success stories. A guy I just worked with came to me last fall. He was very introverted. He was divorced in his 50s, no kids.
Right.
And I got him online, and he met his girlfriend, his fiance now, in December. And now they're engaged. I'm curious. You guys said that you met online, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and how long was it before you, you know, how did that, what was that like?
It was, yeah, Kat, you want to take this one?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of things in common, and, you know, it was... It was just a bizarre, as almost bizarre as that news article, only, you know, we didn't rob a bank or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, you can always read about our story, but, you know, I think it's a very interesting story. One thing, though, I guess, as I'm listening to you talk about this and the image consultant, some of our listeners, you would say that, you know, putting your best look or image forward is, that's an important part. I mean, because then I guess I'm thinking like, okay, well, you're going to look like that when you go, you know, and have all this professional photography or makeup and all that. But then what happens when you're like, you know, you don't look that way with all the makeup gone and whatever. And, you know, is it, how important is that? I mean, is that the attraction? Well, or
yeah, well, it depends on the guy, but, you know, I think, you know, feeling good about yourself, and I don't think, you know, being made up, you know, like, you know, natural makeup, I think there's some good ways to enhance the way you look. And you're right. And when you show up, and they do say sometimes it's better to show up and look better when you show up than you do in your photo. I think when you go too much of a glamour shot, you know, they have this place at the mall, the glamour shot place. I once saw one woman, and I just thought she was way overdone. And I think it was, like, intimidating to men. So, actually, you know, it's interesting. I work with some major people. I'm in the D.C. area. I mean, lawyers and psychiatrists and doctors. I mean, I work with all sorts of professionals and business owners. And, you know, what they want is, like one woman, she looked like the girl next door, you know. Because he's down to earth. You know, even though he, you know, had his own law firm and he was in his 60s, you know, he showed up to an event. He was actually matched with a matchmaker in the area. And he's like, why not go? I mean, it didn't cost him anything. And so this woman, and then they were supposed to go, I don't know why they were going to theater for the first date. I think it was too much. And he came dressed because it was raining. He was wearing, you know, a jacket with a shirt. I don't even know if he had a tie, and he had jeans. He forgot to change. And she came down on him about how he was dressed and, you know, was very upset that he came and he wasn't dressed properly. And I was like, this woman literally missed the boat. And, but, you know, that was important to her. And so they were not a match. I mean, if she wants a guy who dresses up in a really nice suit or a tux for an affair, and that's not this guy. And yeah. So what I noticed is the matchmakers really, they're surfacey. And on paper, it looks good, but they don't go that deeper level, which as a coach is like, he doesn't care about that stuff. And so what Carrie is about is the experience and being there. It's like, I'm here. Enjoy me.
Yeah.
You know, to get down on somebody, you know. So, you know, our expectations, we bring our expectations into dates and really seeing who this person is and being open to who he is. And I think, you know, the low-key dates in the beginning are actually pretty good. I mean, my husband didn't spend any money on me when we first met. I realize that. I looked back, I go, he had a really good strategy. And I help my guy clients. I'm like, you know, how to be frugal dater, you know? Don't spend a lot on women in the beginning. See how they react to that. He took me to a free concert and had a picnic. I'm like, yeah, great time.
That's so romantic, I think. That's really sweet.
Yeah, you know, I didn't need to be wined and dined, you know. I care more about the experience, and I thought it was really nice. He went and had the effort. He went to the store, and he got all the stuff together, and we had a little picnic and listened to music. And then another date he took me was a free, it was luckily this was summer. You know, there's a lot of free stuff in the summer. So, you know, concerts and plays and the park and, you know, things like that. So you don't need to, you know, I mean, and so if somebody needs that, I guess that's part of... I had one guy who had his standard first date was to take them to this... there was this musical review. It was kind of a comedy review thing in D.C. and then to a nice dinner, and it was downtown. And, I mean, it probably cost them over $100 at least, yeah. Almost $200 now.
Oh,
you know, and I'm like, you don't need to do this the first date out, but he wanted to impress the women, you see. You know, and I was trying to talk him out of it, but he did do that, and he did meet a woman who appreciated him for that, and he did get married. So. I think water seeks the same level, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So Kat and I have had this discussion. She found a statistic about the length of a first date, and somebody had said it was like 57 minutes and no longer. I mean, is there like some rule of thumb for that sort of thing?
No, I don't think there's any rule. I think what works for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I've had experiences where I felt like I worn out my welcome. And then I wish I hadn't stayed. I had a date with this guy. It was 3 hours long. And then I realized it was not going to, I don't think he asked me out again or something. But I know people in my clients, they say when they had a first date and it really, they clicked.
Yeah.
You know, the first date could be 3 hours, 4 hours, you know.
You hear that,
you know, what
Kat?
Matters happens.
I do.
What's that?
You know, I mean, I was thinking like 57 minutes seems like a rather arbitrary number to say that, you know, it's not going to be successful if you spend beyond that time. Because I do think it has a lot to do with how you feel when you are with that person for the first time. You may want to spend 6 or 7 or 8 hours with them, or you may want to spend 6 or 7 or 8 minutes, or
right.
You know.
And even that
exactly.
might be too long.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, and let's just, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I just look at it as an experience, and you're meeting somebody, and you know, not everyone's going to be a match. So you know, we do make friends along the way, and I'm actually friends with some of my ex-boys. I never really dated them. I mean, I seriously, but mm-hmm. I met people and just decided that they weren't on the right, whether it wasn't right for one reason or another. And you know, even though Washington's a city, you know, we're a pretty small town in certain respects. So people run around in the same circles, and you see people. So, you know, my philosophy is treat people the way you want to be treated, and you never know when you may see them again. So be nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, and you never know. And I have a friend who her ex-boyfriend invited her to a party, and that's where she met her husband. You know, you never know where you're going to meet your husband. I mean, the top ways to meet people are, you know, online dating is now like one third of the way people meet their serious partners and marriage partners.
Right.
Through other people.
Yeah.
And through the activities and how you spend your time. Some people meet through work, but, you know, I mean, you got to be careful with that. And through the activities and where you spend your time and energy outside of work.
Right.
So, you know, those are the top ways. And I really try to make sure I maximize each of those. And I have something called the dating plan, and which talks about online and offline stuff. And now everything's online.
Yeah.
everything. And so I'm helping my clients connect with people and maintain those relationships online. So we're being very creative and coming up with creative ideas to maintain those relationships.
I think Kat had a question about...
I did. I cannot believe that you brought that up, Amy, because I was telling Matt before it started, like, I have a question if she, like, talks about, okay, so, you know, we're having this pandemic, and it's, like, first time ever that we've experienced, you know, like, this isolation and being social distancing, and my first thought was, like, oh, my gosh, what a terrible thing for, like, online dating, because... You're not able, I mean, I guess, you know, if you follow the rules, you're not able to, like, go and meet So at first I thought this is a disaster because I'm like a really sappy person. I love it's true. And you know, so I'm thinking like this is ruining love. You know, this pandemic is like bad for love.
But is it?
Well, here is what I've come to think in like all these weeks that I've had to think. You know, I'm starting to think like, who is it? I now can tell you like who I do not want to be quarantined with for weeks, and you know who I do want to be quarantined with for weeks. And also, you know, it's let me focus on like who would I be devastated if you know they got coronavirus and passed away. So it's caused me to reflect on really who is important in my life and the types of people that I could go through a tragedy like this with.
I had my husband right before 9/11. We got stuck in New York together. Well, actually, he took the last plane out of New York.
Oh,
and I was left there to do work. We have both family there, and then he was my lifeline to get me back to D.C.
Wow.
And I couldn't fly home, and I was supposed to fly, and I ended up having to figure out how I took the train back. It was quite an experience. So, you know, I think, you know, one of the things is can you really count on someone when the chips are down?
Yes, I absolutely agree with that.
But people have long-distance relationships all the time. And actually, I have a client who just connected with somebody in Australia. He's here in D.C. He's very international. He's actually from another country, but he's living here. Hmm. And he met a woman in Australia, and they are connecting, and they're talking like almost every day.
We are actually,
I don't know when they're going to be able to meet.
Yeah.
But who knows, right? So we don't know. You know, one of the things I love about, I hate to say what's going on, the silver lining is you have to take the time to get to know somebody. You're not going to jump into bed with somebody.
That's true.
And, you know, if you get to have those conversations, you get to spend time with them, and which I'm helping my clients do have creative dates through the virtual.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you know whether they're going to play. You can play games online.
But yeah, tell us some of those ideas for people listening out there that need that.
You can watch you can listen to a concert together. They have Broadway is on. They're doing things now just to stay, you know, for fundraising and for other things. If you live in the same area, how cool would it be to send a delivery by Uber Eats or DoorDash to your date? So
yeah.
you guys can have dinner together.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually going to be my, I do Facebook Lives, and I have a Facebook group called The Motivated Marry Singles, and I do trainings, and that's the topic for my next one, is how to have dates. Yeah.
We're actually going to do another podcast on international dating in a couple weeks, and...
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe you're Australia, you know, that connection.
I don't know.
Maybe they like to
do. I don't mean he's very shy, so we have confidentiality. But if I think of something, I mean, I know a couple people who tried it, and it for them it didn't work.
Right.
But I think, you know, I would put the word out, you know, the way that you always... Well, the way you did, the way you found me.
Yeah.
So yeah, and
I'm sure there's somebody out there who has done that. Yeah.
Maybe
sure
it's, you know,
I
you
do know
share.
Some people who, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so international, it can be, there are definitely challenges, but it's possible. So.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
does.
Love can happen anyway, yeah.
Yeah. All right, So I want to thank you for being on. I really appreciate it. I know you want to get with your family and do the, you know, all the things that you're going to do. And we really appreciate having you.
Well, great. It was great to be here. It's always fun to talk about
this stuff.
Everyone enjoys it. And, you know, love happens. You know, love will spring and is possible at all times. So thank you
true.
For the opportunity.
Oh, no problem. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is my website, Motivated to Marry. I do a weekly newsletter. I have a podcast. I have my blog. I have my Facebook group and the Motivated Marry Singles group. So, yeah, I'm also pretty prolific in certain ways to I like to share information and show people, you know, what I'm about. And then if people are interested in learning more about me, then we set up a time to talk. So I'm still very accessible and love to I just want to help people find their true love partner. I mean, that's very fulfilling work.
That's awesome.
I think that's great. Yes. So, you just keep doing that, Amy, and keep having those high success rates. That's wonderful.
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much.
Have a good night. Thank you. You too. All right, Sean. How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Just me. I really should probably get life coached after hearing that.
All right. So
I could use something like that.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a quick overview of your stories of online dating, and we'll ask some questions after that.
Well, my first experience was actually in 1994. Back then, we had these little talkers and telnet chats that we used to log in from our school's Unix account, and
that's like pre-internet.
Yeah, actually early stages.
Pre-AOL.
And actually, it was about the time AOL started and Yahoo just started, but. There was no Internet Explorer, no Google, nothing like that.
Wow.
And I've met a few people online that way, and they're like, and then it just, evolves. Like in the late 90s, you had ICQ, and the early 2000s, you had MSN chat, AOL chat, and all these other Yahoo chat, and now you got Tinder and Kick and a few other.
Yeah.
Plenty of fish, stuff like that. But the first started in 94 because I was just a lonely college student, and it opened up a new kind of a new world because I say I was a lonely college student and I wasn't, really meeting people around campus or anywhere else. And I am a little insecure about my looks, and it was the best option because, they don't see you. They know, and then, so it allows you to express your personality as opposed to, having looks be the first thing on the mind. You can, show off the personality as opposed to just dating based on looks.
Right, yeah.
And I've had some pretty bad experiences because sometimes if I go and meet somebody, it just doesn't click really. And, and it just makes me feel worse, but just move on to the next one.
How long do you typically talk to someone before you go meet them?
It would be a while, and we would have to have like a serious talk about meeting. And I know after the first time I met somebody, basically I was going to school in Youngstown, Ohio, and this person had a friend in Cleveland and wanted to meet me. And I was talking to her online for several months, and she wanted to meet me really bad. And so I went up to Cleveland, and we were supposed to meet at the bars, that didn't happen. So I was able to do a bunch of calling around and find out where she was. And we finally met, and she says, you know, I have to take you to a hotel. You can't stay where we're at because, you know, we're at a friend's house. We can't stay here. So, you know, just drop you off at the hotel, and then we'll go out and you know, go to the bars. And so he dropped me off at the hotel, and I come back down, and they're gone. Hmm. And she tells me that she has another date.
And, oh, wow. Really?
I mean, yeah. So, I didn't get in that, you know, of course that depressed me quite a bit, but I mean, next day I cut a ball game and went home. But after that, I kind of shied from actually going to meet the people. I mean, it would have to take a lot of conversation, it would take a lot for me to actually make me feel comfortable to just go out of my way to meet somebody, especially if I'm traveling out of town.
Right.
Now, the one that I ended up marrying, I met her on a chat lines in the mid-90s, and I ended up coming out to, I was living in Ohio at the time, so I ended up coming out to Washington to come see her because, well, we talked for several years and I felt comfortable enough. And my take on it was I've been working for a few years straight and not had any vacation. At you know, worst case scenario, I got out of town.
Yeah.
If it didn't work out, at least, you know, I had a vacation.
Sure.
At least I got out of town for once. And
so,
yeah, it did work out at that time.
And you were married for how long?
9 years.
Okay. Cool. What was the hardest part about, like, online dating for you? I mean, I know you said you talked for quite a long time. So what would have been the hardest part?
Well, it's just the confidence, and then how the confidence gets shattered when it doesn't work out.
Right.
And then most of the time it doesn't. As they say, I mean, I just move on, but you know, it doesn't help my self-esteem at all. It doesn't help my confidence, but, you know.
Right.
So what is it, like, now that you look back, what do you think is it like Amy was saying earlier that, you know, people are looking for different things and maybe they just don't make that clear, or maybe they don't even know. Why do you think that many of them are not working out?
Well, I mean, back then, timing had a lot to do with it. I mean, those that I've met when I was still going to college, I had no plans for my future at the time. I didn't know what I was going to do post-college. A lot of questions, and to take this serious relationship in. Since I wasn't meeting anybody around college, it's, you know, the relationship was long distance. A lot of these meetings, you know, were distance, and, you know, would they have worked out if we even tried? I mean, you know, looking back, I just realized, you know, just think, hey, they just weren't the one, and, you know, be lucky that I didn't, you know, try to pursue even more or with them anymore or anything. Just, you know, realize they're not the one and just, you know, move on.
Go
ahead, Kat.
What was different with the one that you married? So she seemed like the one. So what was that meeting like, and how did that relationship go?
Well, she knew about my insecurities at first, and she did seem like she seemed to be understanding. And she did seem like the one. And I think there's a few reasons why the marriage failed. But at first, she did seem like she's the one, but of course, a lot of times it can be, you know, she was just as lonely as I was. And sometimes when we're lonely, you know, we can make rash decisions, and sometimes, mm-hmm. you know. And
So you're not married now? Is that true?
Yes, I'm not married now.
Okay. So are you back online now?
Yeah, I'm back online. I use the Kick app, and I mean, I've met people, but it's been more of a friend kind of thing. They're not the one. So
do you find it a lot different now than it was before?
And yes, it is definitely a lot different. Technologies, when you know, advanced. There's some, and now you gotta have like a profile picture, and
right, yeah.
So plus I'm a lot older, so.
How old are you?
I'll be 47 next month.
Baby. I'll be 58.
So what were talkers like in comparison to the apps that you use now?
Well, except for it's a little bit different because they see them. I email them a picture. They don't know what I look like, and I can just open up and be free with my personality. Have them, you know, like my personality as opposed to, you know, before seeing my face or anything. And I could be more open, more, you know, more out there. And I mean, with technology today, I can still be open and out there. And I say I'm older now, so I've learned a lot from those failed meetings in the past. So, I mean,
have you ever met someone who was totally different than they seem to be online?
Quite often, yes. I mean, you know, first, you know, it's just the way when we're talking, and they just seem totally different than the way they presented themselves, and you see that a lot online, but I mean, it still happens today. So, I mean, you know, you got with that term catfishing. I mean, you know,
you had an experience like that?
No, I try to keep things as real as possible. But I don't go out of my way. One of the things is, I don't go out of my way to. I won't travel to meet any, well, I can't travel now, but I won't necessarily travel to meet anybody unless, you know, I'm in the area in the first place. So, they focus more on me and not try to, you know, put my heart out there, you know.
Yeah.
Unless, you know. Like when I met that girl in Cleveland, yeah, it's, you know, I just went to a baseball game the next day because, you know, I went to see the new baseball stadium in Cleveland because it's like brand new at the time. So, I mean, you know, focused on the bit of that trip anyway. So,
okay. So I have a couple statistics that I'm going to relay, and you guys can guess what you think the answers are.
Okay.
So, what percentage of adults in the U.S. have used an online dating site? What do you think it is? What percentage?
Oh, wow. I would think 65%.
I would go 50, fit around 50. I mean, it's much more prevalent these days than it was back in the 90s. But
yeah, that's true. But even so, it says that it was 30%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was surprising. I would have thought it would have been more, too. But it does vary a bit by age group. Just to give an example, like, 18 to 29 year olds, it was like 38%, and 50 and older was 16. So
wow.
The one interesting thing is that lesbian, gay, and bisexual people are roughly twice as likely to use an online dating site than than straight people, which I found interesting.
That is interesting. I wonder if it's maybe because of...
I think it's probably because it's harder to meet people.
Yeah, I would think that could be. I would guess that you would feel more comfortable in being accepted.
Yeah, I think it goes to what Sean was saying about, being able to, show your personality first and, getting to know someone a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's the statistics are really pretty shocking to me. I was way off. So
yeah. Too.
All right. So how many people percentage-wise say they have been in a committed relationship or marriage with someone they met online? Out of like all the people who use online dating sites, how many have been in a serious relationship or gotten married? What do you think that percentage is?
Well, I'm going to go low this time. I'm going to say 20%.
Okay. I'm going even lower, 15.
Oh, pretty close. It's actually 12%.
Wow. Good for you, Sean. You were almost spot on. Wow, amazing.
This is an either-or question. Would you say that people are more apt to feel satisfied or frustrated using online dating?
I think that people would be frustrated. Yeah.
What do you think, Kat?
I would say, given those statistics that you've given, where it doesn't seem like too many are finding, long-term success, I'm going to go with frustrated, too.
Well, let's see. Actually, 45% of the people polled said that online dating has made them feel frustrated. And it's a little bit... It's actually a little bit more. It's 45% frustrated and 28% hopeful.
And... Wow. Yeah. Yet there is hope, apparently, because Amy will help you to raise those numbers.
There you go.
She's got 80%, so.
That's a good percentage.
What do you think the most important thing women are looking for on a man's profile?
Well, that is a tough one.
What do you think it is, Kat?
To me, I'm looking for signs of intelligent life. And a sense of humor, those kind of things. Obviously you can't help but notice the picture. Right. But I don't know. To me, you could have a really good picture, and then if you can't put any sentences together, or you just didn't put any thought into what you wrote, then so I would say I'm gonna have faith in women that it's gonna be intelligence.
Okay, what do you think, Sean?
Well, intelligence is one thing. Ability to commit could be another one.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
All right, so 72% of women say that they're looking for what type of relationship a guy is looking for.
Oh, Sean, you got it.
Yeah, so, you know. And that's opposed to men, who only 53% are saying that's important to them.
Because they're looking at the picture.
Yeah,
is that
probably,
right?
Yeah.
Shallow people.
Yeah, yeah. So how many people do you think lie on their dating profile?
I'm going high on that one. I'm going like 60 to 65.
Okay, Kat?
I would say... I'd say at least 55%. I would say more than half do.
Okay, you're both pretty close. It's actually 60%. And
whoa.
Who lies more, men or women?
Well,
my experience would say women.
And okay. I would say men.
All right, so 40% of men lie about their jobs, and 20% of women use photos from when they were younger or look different, you know, that sort of thing.
And you see, if it wasn't for men like focusing and those high percentages on the picture, women would not have to do that. So that solves that mystery.
Sure. All right. So people who do not use online dating, what do you think the percentage of people think that the ones who do are desperate?
A lot, I would say.
Those numbers would be higher like a few years ago, but probably about 40% these days. It's become a little more socially acceptable.
Sure.
Acceptable these days. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 65% still think it.
65, huh? Jeez.
Yeah, I'm going high too.
All right, so it's actually 23%.
Yay! Well, I'm glad to be wrong on that one. So
yeah. So roughly 1 in 4 people think that people who use online dating are desperate, which is, you know, it's actually down a little bit from. Let's see, from 10 years ago when it was almost 30%, so making some progress, which is kind of interesting.
It's quite interesting.
So that's all the statistics I have.
I think Sean won. I think you...
I think you did pretty well, Sean.
Yes, definitely.
Try. Okay.
All right. So, So I think that's, that's going to be a wrap. And, I think online dating, it's tough. I think it's more prevalent than it used to be, obviously. More people are using it now, and it's become more acceptable. And, some good success rates with, people getting into relationships from using online dating. Kat, do you have anything to add?
I just had one question, Sean. Since, 9 years is pretty long in marriage terms, I would think that you feel like that was a pretty successful relationship. Maybe it didn't continue on.
It's about 8.5 years longer than any of my other relationships. So,
knowing what you know now, if you could go back, would you do it again?
That is a tough decision. I had things good before I got married, so maybe I might not have, but I would have still been alone. That question would have been a 50-50. I still talk to my ex, and the thing about her is she has a good heart. And that's why, you didn't click, but, we clicked for 9 years, but, she has a good heart, and she realizes I have a good heart, too, so that's, and that's, That's a good thing there.
And that is good. Yes.
And knowing that she does have a good heart, I probably would have done it again. And I mean, I knew at the time that she had a good heart. So.
Well, so if anybody out there is listening that's, you know, maybe thinking, I would like a man with a good heart, you know, is there a way they could get in touch with you, or are you interested in that at all, or, you know, we might could hook you up that way.
that'd be nice, you know.
Well, you can contact Kat and get Sean's contact information if you're interested. We want to thank you for being on the show, Sean. Really appreciate it, coming and sharing your experiences.
Thank you.
And we want to thank Amy again for being on. She's a pretty interesting person with a pretty interesting job, you know, setting up matches for people and helping them find someone to marry and helping them along their path and stuff. It's pretty cool. So this is Matt and Kat. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.